The following audio was recorded at the Pacific School Leadership Institute, which was held at Waits Lake Bible Camp near Valley, Washington, on October 19 and 20, 2023.
I read once that committees are the kind that they're a situation where alone we can do nothing, and together there's nothing to be done. But I don't believe that about school boards. It doesn't have to be that way. One of the things that is important is that we know where we want to go with it. And that's what I would think of the goals. And the other thing then is, how are we going to get it done? And that's sometimes where the stick point comes in, because the goals are not always that far apart, and yet how we define them can be, and when it gets down to, as we say, where the rubber meets the road, how to get it done can create more heat than light sometimes. You know, the electric, going back to the example of the electrical current, that the switch isn't working right, and it's sparking. And so what can we do? How can we do this with the minimum amount of energy going into or going toward the unproductive things? Because that really can happen in discussions, that we get sidetracked on the main issue because we don't understand each other, or we don't really understand the concept we're working with. And I think it is important to understand that there is a difference between the goal and how we're going to get there. And I'm not in a position to say which is necessarily the most important, but there can be a difference. Now, the book of Nehemiah, the building of the wall, is an excellent, excellent example of people working together. They had, number one, a goal. It was to build the wall. Everybody knew, it was clear that this is what we're going to do, this is what we're here for. And it's interesting that the others, there were several things, and I think it was this part of this was pointed out this morning, but the other thing, several other things, was, if I understand it, for the most part, each one built right where his house was, or, you know, they had a section where they worked on. So they worked on their section, and then there was people that had various skills that did some other things. They all had one goal, but there was varied methods. And I don't know how many different ways you can actually build a wall that it'll stand, but I suppose that there could have been some variation if you looked at it. But they all had a goal, even though there was some different methods. And so I think that it's good to ask ourselves, what are the goals for our school? Now, I know that I'm quite aware that I'm going to say a few things that I've already said, so forgive me for that, but I say it because I feel it's important to maybe repeat it. What is the mission? When you think about your school, what are your goals for the school? What would you like to see? What is our personal mission as part of the school administration? Not only overall, but where do you see yourself fitting in? Where do you see yourself being able to make a contribution? I have seen, and I don't think that that's something that is a matter of pride necessarily. And the reason I say that is I've seen some situations where it looked to me like that person felt like they didn't have much to contribute, they were not very well spoken, and that they weren't heard very much, but invariably they made their presence felt. They were excellent in sitting down in the middle of the road. I think in the dairy business you call that sullying. And you had to deal with it. I think it would have been far better had that person stopped and thought, well, what can I really contribute, and what do others contribute? and how can we make this work better? And so stop and think how you feel you can personally contribute. Otherwise, it's going to be by default, isn't it? Now, just because you haven't been voted in for chairman doesn't mean you wouldn't have the capability, you know, but and we don't run for office, so to speak. But where can I, in the whatever position I am, whatever it is on the school board, where can I make a difference? Where can I help each person, this school, meet the goals that we have? Who was it that said, maybe Yogi Berra, that I think that it's important that you know where you're going because that, so that you know when you get there, that you've arrived. And so it's a little bit like goofing off. You never know when you're done. And so you have to have goals and benchmarks where you're going. Now, this is a little bit of an aside, but I think it's also important to have the vision. See, sometimes we can get caught up in the mechanics of running the school. The chairman does this, the secretary does that, the treasurer writes the checks or whoever it is. And we can kind of get caught up in the mechanics of it, and the mechanics need to be there. You need to have a structure. But let's keep in mind that you're really, what we're doing here is impacting young lives. And when they talk about their school days, they're going to talk about the days when you were part of the school board or the teacher or the administrator, because that's the frame of reference. And I want you to remember this, that the day will come that those students are going to be older than you are now, and then they will judge you from an adult standpoint. Now, sometimes that will be good, and sometimes it'll make you cringe. One of the things that makes me cringe is when people say, you know what you told me one time? And I always just want to hide under the table because I don't always say such profound things. And usually, for some reason, people remember the dumb things I say and don't remember the things I wish they would. But remember, your students will remember those things. And I think you all have... you all have recollections of maybe little things that your teacher did or said that just stuck. It became part of the fabric. And this is happening every day, every day, every day. Just like it is for, I say this about the home. Children are always, parents are always teaching, children are always learning. Whatever you're doing is you're by example teaching, and they're always absorbing what you're doing and putting it in their database that this is the way to do it. Oh, they might disagree, but that's happening at school too, that they're always learning. They're learning either, you know, academically, life skills, all of those things, and it will frame their worldview. It will frame their view of other people. It will frame their view of the scriptures, and it provides their moral compass. And I had talked about the impact that it has on their social skills and their problem solving. And another thing we should think about is about what does it produce in the end. In business, your business is judged by the product. You can't start out by, you know, manufacturing lawnmowers and you end up with a farm tractor. I mean, you then must be very intentional. What do I want in the end? And then you sometimes work it backwards. What do I want in the end? And so in the case of students, what kind of students do we want to get their diploma or go out of school and be in the community and in the workforce? What do we want them to have? Are they going to be a contribution? Are they going to have a victim mentality? Are they going to be like hunters and gatherers? They just go around to see what they can get rather than long-term thinkers. What kind of product? And that doesn't sound very good to call a student a product, but bear with me. What in the end do we want to turn out? What do we want to be known by? This is important so that we know how to get there, because otherwise we won't know where we're going. And I'm not telling you things you don't know, but I'm just reminding us again the importance of knowing where you want to go, where we want to go with the school. I was thinking as parents, I was thinking in general, but and also each individual, what do each of you in the administration, what are you expecting from the school and what are we contributing to the school? What is considered a success? This is all part of the goals that I'm talking about. What is considered a success? And do you have benchmarks? That is sometimes, one of the benchmarks is that they've completed a grade and they're going on to the next grade. That's a benchmark. But throughout the year, do we have benchmarks that, yes, they're on track. Yes, the right things are happening. You don't want to end up a month before school is out only to have your teacher say, you know what, this student over here just isn't ready to go on to the next class. And, or this one over here, or we have a whole class of fifth graders who are really, really weak in math or reading, something they should have learned in grades one or grade two. I don't know if that ever happened to you. I've seen it happen. And you say, what did we miss? How did we miss that? The fifth, sixth grade teachers have to, they are handicapped because they what they should have learned way back, they're struggling with. The goal is to keep them on track. We're not wanting fifth graders to do eighth grade math, but let's help. Our goal is first graders do what first graders do, second graders do what second graders do. Do we have the lower grade teachers? Our goal is that they can read, and our goal is to be good students at the end. But, you know, they are putting in the foundation. And this is one of the things that I don't have a very good answer for. I am very much for having career teachers. But it seems like in our younger grades, we put more emphasis on that in the older grades than the younger grades. And we might actually have that in reverse a bit, because you really put the foundation in the first several years, grades one, grades two, and three. And so don't ever tell somebody, oh, I'm just a first grade teacher. No, I am not just a second grade teacher. That is, don't ever say that to me, because it's extremely, extremely important. Those are goals. In my mind, those are goals, that we're able to do that and have the, that we want to get done. Now, along with that, parents are delegating the education of their children to you, to the school, and to you as individuals and together. And what are their broad goals? What do they want? And here is this is something that there's a little bit of a broadness to it. There are some parents who are very pro-education, and some would like if the teacher would train their children to be more obedient than they are at home, and you know how that goes. And so they have various expectations. But hopefully, as a group, you can narrow that down. But you have to take into consideration, what do the parents expect? Because you're going to fall out over the methods if you don't. And so, or at least, you're going to have some hard communication. So what are the parents expecting? And you might think, well, maybe there needs to be a little education. And that can happen over a period of time as there is a concerted effort, not real pushy and that sort of thing, but as you develop a culture of learning, the culture is of learning and the joy of learning, that tends to, John F. Kennedy said, still, the rising tide lifts all the boats. And so if you can have a culture that learning is something we enjoy doing in that school, this is what we do. These are goals. And so I repeat that we need to know what our vision and our mission is. And as I had mentioned at one point, it has to be, and this was emphasized by others, but too, and it has to be a lot more than just not attending public school. We would have schools like this if the state wouldn't get involved, wouldn't we? I hope so. So that's one of our visions, is not so much to get away from something as where we're going toward. And you want to have people who can serve the kingdom. They are articulate. They know how to solve problems and this sort of thing. Really, it has to come from a proactive mindset toward education, that we enjoy learning. And that is also a personal example. Those are that they learn that by personal example. But again, these are all broad goals. Like in summary, I would say this about the goals, that I feel the broad goals should be academic excellence, proficiency in the subjects. Another question in the goals is how many subjects or to what degree should be taught in the school. That's separate from the method. Some people, their goal is to get them to eighth grade, and their goal is just, you know, the reading, writing, and arithmetic type thing. That's some people's goal. I don't think that's your goal here, but that's really all they're expecting. Now, again, you run into a problem with the methods then if that's the goal, but as a group here, you know, the more pro-education, the more you enjoy learning, the more you exude that, the more that will actually affect the schools. The school board needs to be more than just, oh well, now we've got another school board meeting and we talk about the mechanics. You need to be pro-education. So there we want to, I think all parents want them to learn how to study and how to learn, and learning the joy of discovery. As long as you can teach, you know, the joy of discovery and learning, that is a broad goal. We have also the life skills that I had talked about earlier as part of the goals, the respect and obedience for the teacher, for each other, for students, the kindness, the honesty, the fairness. All of this is very important. But to do this, the team needs to work together. Now, I switch a little bit now from defining the broad goals to what I think about the methods. And in discussion, and as you problem solve, I do think that it is a good idea to try to categorize the different points of view. Is the point of view actually a difference of goals, or is it just a different method? For one thing, it's important to work together, but there is the, and here, you know, here is where it's apt to get off the rails. When we have to work through things, there's misunderstandings and bad feelings get started. And it's the difference of getting the goals implemented. So what happens is you have the teachers teaching whatever subject, and the parents may feel there's too much homework, or that they're being pushed too hard. Maybe some of the school board members think that the teacher is just pushing too hard. That, and it creates a discussion. Now, is that a difference in goals? No, it's not a difference of goals. They all want them to learn, but it's a difference of methods. How are we going to get it done? You know, there's more than one way to get to some places, and it's going to be affected by personality and whatnot. But as you work together as a team, keep this in mind as things come up. Is this a variation of the goal, or is this a variation of the method? Because what can happen is that someone on the team, or parent, or just somebody looking on, sees something, an issue being handled, let's say an issue between the students and the teacher, maybe a respect issue, and it's done differently than what he would do it. And you know, it's easy to feel like that, oh, now we are no longer together on the goal. Oh my, now that we have a problem. We don't think alike about school. And that's not really very often the case. It's not a goal issue. If we sit down and talk about it, we would all say, well, yes, we want the student to be respectful. We want the teacher to be fair. Okay, so what's the question? Well, you should have done it this way instead of this way. Well, maybe so. You know, school boards aren't perfect. But it was a difference of the method, right? It doesn't mean we're not together as a goal. But see, when people think we don't agree on the goal, they get discouraged a lot quicker than just disagreeing on the method. Because it's all over in their minds if we don't agree on the goal. But oftentimes we do agree on the goal. It's the method that we have our discussion points on. Whether, because again, I repeat, we all want the students to learn, and we want them to learn life skills. Those are the sorts of things. You know, we could apply that to various things. We want to have a classroom that children, or students, I should say, can learn, because that's part of the goal, right? But you may have a teacher who is, and this varies with personalities, but the teacher might be, you know, they might have a list of do's and don'ts as long as your arm, which I'm against. You're much better off having five very good basic rules and stick to them than have so many rules that you can't even remember them yourself, and you have to make judgment calls all day long. But sometimes you have a teacher like that that needs help. So let's say you have it. For discussion's sake, this is what we have. We've got 25 rules that hardly anybody can remember. Well, and the students are getting restless, and the parents are getting restless, and the teacher is frustrated. Are we differing on the goal at all? We aren't differing on the goal that we want a classroom that they can learn, but we've created a level of tension now that they can't. That nobody is doing as well as they could. Not even the teacher isn't even at their best. We have a different method. Again, it's really, really important to me that you go away from here thinking that, you know what, there is a difference of that. Of, you know, now we can all go to, let's say, we have the goal of going to Spokane. And you can get there in various vehicles. You can get there at various speeds, hopefully not over the speed limit. And there's various ways of doing this. And not one is not necessarily better than the other, but it's, you know, it's one does it one way, one does it another way. And so that will show up then. And then there's others, sometimes administrators. See, here's my ADHD, I guess. I start things and then I back up and say something else. Forgive me. So sometimes the administrators will, you have to, so now I'm backing up. You have to decide which hill you're going to die on, okay? Where are you going to do battle? Is this issue, where does this issue, how much does this issue affect the goal? What kind of remedial thing should we mete out for the offense? some you know, I know one person, he likes to say, he likes to talk about buffalo. This is a parenthetically. He says that when there's a storm, cattle tend to, they face their heads away from the storm. And, or either, but buffalo, he says, so I don't have any idea if they do or not, but he says they go into the storm and so they're through it quicker. So he says he's a big believer in hitting it head on. Well, I've seen some people that really, you know, come on, tell me what you think. I can take it. Hit it head on, and then it doesn't work so good. But so some people think that let's just get it out on the table, and we're just going to duke it out here. And then there's others who will say, you know what? Maybe a little patience here will straighten it out. You know, what's the pattern of what's going on? Is this a repeat thing? Then you're going to, you know, again, I'm going back to what I told you earlier, that you can always escalate pressure, but you can never de-escalate it once you have the fire lit and burning. And so you have to exert, and you ratchet up the pressure sometimes on various things. And sometimes some patience doesn't ruffle as many feathers, and it kind of comes out where it ought to be. Other times you have to hit it head on. But some people kind of take that, they're one or the other. Those are methods. They're not goals. They're methods. And again, if we feel like we're differing on goals, we will get discouraged and we can't keep it put together. If we understand it's just a different way of doing it and maybe that other way would work, then we can work together. So it is really pretty important that we do keep that separated. When we have differences, or we know the teacher or the principal or an administrator handled it one way, we would have the other. It doesn't mean that they don't have the same goal. It just means that they have approached it differently. And so, you know, one of the things we ask then is, how can we minimize this? You know, it's these sorts of things happen. The Bible tells us offenses will come. There is things that are going to come up like this, and it's called life. And so what are some things that we can do? And this again goes back a lot to life skills, but be considerate of the opinions of the others on the team, whether it's, you know, there was probably a reason the teacher did it that way this time, or the principal, or the chairman, or whoever. We ought to be considerate of that. We don't let ourselves get emotionally involved right away. Well, that was not the way to handle that at all. Well, you know what? We don't know the whole story. And maybe the person handling it would say, I didn't either, but I had to make a decision. And all of you in administration know how that is, you know. Other people have the privilege of sitting on we call that Monday morning quarterbacking. They can sit on the sidelines and say what somebody should have done. But the person that's on the hot seat only has a few minutes to decide. So let's be patient with each other, because this is how this sort of thing works. And so to minimize the disagreements and to keep the vision centered on the student and the good of the student, and realize that what we're discussing, let's use that word, is a method. And so let's not be suspicious of the other. It's so easy, you know, we tend to be black and white. We think, well, you know what, brother so-and-so really doesn't have the same goal for the church or the school that he should have. I have a real concern for that brother. Pray for him. And we go on and on like that. Don't be suspicious. He may well have. You know, one of the things that, and this goes back to something, another talk that I had, but when you face differences like that, when you realize where the stick point is, one of the things that I find very helpful in discussion where I would have done it one way, he the other way, is this. Is when, you know, you're having this open discussion and the person tells you how they view the situation and what they would have done. I think that is the time you should stop and say, okay, now let me tell you what I think I heard. and you repeat it back to the person. And I've had people say, no, you didn't hear me at all. That's not what I said. It's okay, good. Now let's go at it again. But if we go off on those things, we're missing each other and don't know what happened. Stop, have them, and you repeat back to them in your words or whatever. Don't just have this memorized like husbands do when their wives think they're not being listened to. Hear what they're saying, repeat it back to them so that they know that you know, and so we have that established. And so that helps you from getting suspicious. Now there's other things that help. One of them is to keep each other informed in general about what is going on in school. If the administration, if you have one or two that is mostly handling school things and the others are only get into it at school board meetings, what can easily happen is you will feel a disconnect from school. You will not be as informed. And then when things come up, it looks different to you. All of a sudden you walk in on a situation and it will strike you emotionally. It's a little bit like when you walk into the situation where, the one spouse is in the woodshed with the other. It looks pretty bad, but we haven't really realized what brought this on. And so I think it's important to be informed and keep each other informed. Now, I know that takes time, but being a good administrator takes time. It's just like a good business owner walks the shop floor. I think it was President Johnson said the best fertilizer for the land is the owner's footsteps. He's out there looking at the condition. Look well onto the condition of your flocks, something like that, as the Bible tells us. So be informed. Keep each other informed. Now, how are you going to be informed? Well, one of the only ways I know is to get there to school and visit school. What I find helpful is stop in after school and just visit with the teachers, because that's the time. I guess I'm talking to some teachers here, but that's the time that they will talk. You're ready to let off some steam. And you can hear how their day went, and they're ready to tell you. And they feel like you care because you made that, you stopped in. Coffee and donuts helps more yet. But to stop in and then also visit. And now remember, when you visit, it's a single data point. You only saw this one time. Maybe that's the only time little Joe ever did that. And don't assume that this is how it goes all the time. You know, it's like when we go away with our children. They do some of the most embarrassing things, and it looks like we aren't trying to teach them at all. And I think teachers go through the same thing. So you can ask now, I saw this and this happen. Is that normal? And they'll be quick to say, no, that is not normal, but, it happened. Or yes, it's normal, and I don't know what to do about it. And we can talk about it. Or he might not have thought, you can say, well, to me that looked like a distraction that ought to be somehow curbed. Well, I hadn't thought of that. Well, you can talk about it. But you can't if you haven't been there, if you don't see it. But please, beware that what you see in a 30-minute visit is a single data point. And the students may or may not behave better than they normally do. You don't know for sure. But visit and visit. And then I think, to me, stopping in, like I said, and not everybody is in a position to do that. I understand that. Some can do it more often than others. But do try to make it your goal. Somehow, when you can do it, you will be able to contribute better to the work of the school, because the others feel you're part of it. You will have the heartbeat of it way better if you're there. And again, you will see the methods being employed, and you can say, well, do these methods line up with the goals? Are these? And you can say, well, you know what? The disorder we have going on in the classroom, it really conflicts with our goal. because they are not going to be able to learn the way they ought to learn, and they're not learning to be respectful. This is not part of our mission statement, because you can see it happening. But then there's other times, however the teacher hands out some things that you might do different, and you say, well, you know, I would do it different, but it accomplished the same thing, and so let's be okay with that. You also find, and you know this, that some of the team will push some things more than others. You'll have some who will really push math, and some maybe science, and others history. I would push history. But together, you find your way. And again, if it's part of the goal, find a common solution. You know, we can't teach history all day long. Let's keep this in balance. And that's why we have each other. And the teacher's putting so much pressure on that in math or whatever, which brings me to another thought, and that's homework. There's maybe not so much. There's probably two basic things about homework, and that is that students should not take any homework home, or the teacher might say, but they're in school. They're in school, so of course they take homework home. And at home, the parents are thinking, but I need them in the shop, I need them on the farm. And the teacher's thinking, but they're in school. They are full-time scholars. What do you mean that homework is a problem? Now, that's not a goal issue. That's a method that you have to work out, because everybody wants them to learn. I remember, this is by illustration totally different, but one of the members of a church, when their child was born at home, they had to go to the hospital. There were some complications, but I was good friends with our family doctor, and he told me that the husband was going out to consult somebody, and he'd come in and dictate the treatment. No, you're not going to treat our baby with this, and you don't treat him with that. And our family doctor said to me, he said, I had never seen that from the Mennonite people, the difficulty he was up against. He said they had actually called child services in, and they were on the way, and he said, you know what, you were about, 30 minutes away from having a dead baby on your hands. So he said, I finally asked the father, don't you want this baby to live? Something like that. Well, sure. Well, then we have to do this. Oh, okay, then do it. There, they didn't, somehow they had to come together on both the goal and the method. And there's times you have to do that. Sometimes you're zeroed down to very few things. But again, let's try to determine the core thing here. Is it the goal or is it the method? The part of this is to keeping a healthy respect and trust for each other. And I had mentioned this before. You have to pick, this sounds a little crude, but in life you have to pick your battles. Some things really aren't worth spending your money on. Your collateral, your goodwill, the trust that you have. It takes a lot of work to put money in the bank, and it takes a lot of work to put trust in the bank with other people. And you don't want to spend it recklessly, because now and then you're going to have to write a big check. And it administratively, that's just goes with the territory. And when you're forced to do some administrative work that people has people's displeasure, but you're doing it because you're following that goal. Maybe not everybody understands it. They're not bad brethren, but it costs you. You have to have money in the bank. And so not only does the team need to work together, you need to be talking to the parents in your congregation. How's school going? How do you feel? Is your child learning? Those sorts of things. If they feel that you care, it goes a long way. Oftentimes that will diffuse things early on, and you want to catch it early on. and they might talk about something, just take it to school board and say, you know, I had this one father saying that this is what he feels about school. And you might have two or three others say, yeah, you know, we've kind of picked that up too. Well, then address it or whatever, at least start talking about it. But it may have been that the father just wanted to ventilate a little. You'll have to use your judgment. That is what, how you determine, part of how you determine the what is the goal. And so stay in touch. And each one on the team must be developing those skills on their own. The other one won't develop it in you. It's called growth. And you'll get some scars from it, but you will grow. Keep working on that. So remember, there's going to be differences, okay? There's going to be differences, but keep your vision and your goal in mind and expect differences. Don't panic. The wallpaper's not going to fall off. Keep your vision in mind and then the methods as you work your way through it. Just work through it. That is the most important thing. Don't give up. Just be like they were when they were building the wall. They didn't mind the wind and the rain and other things, but it does tell us how they had to face things, but they kept at it. And that's my encouragement. You know, be a Moses, be a Mordecai, or be an Aaron or a Hur, but keep putting yourself into it, because you know what? This is the children that you are affecting. It's really the only thing that matters. Lord bless you. Thank you.